how to avoid getting trapped into offense. Matthew 24, 10 to 13, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. My message to you tonight, as a point of reference in this message I'd like to give, is that is offense is a bait that Satan uses to hold many people or Christians in bondage. Offense is a debate that holds many Christians in bondage. In these last days, you know, these are the last days. There, if you go to Matthew 24, you'll see a number of indicators of the last days. But offense, being offended, is a great sign of the last days. In these last days, Jesus said, many will be offended. It's one of the signs of the last days. Satan is working overtime and very, very hard to get as many Christians entangled in being offended. Being offended gets progressively bad. It starts off as a small, you know, hurt. And it goes to that sense of betrayal or betraying, a betrayal of somebody. Then it goes right into hatred. And then it gets into a person being isolated from each other or from the church. And so if we ask a question, what is offense? Have you ever, if you ask yourself this question, have you ever been offended by God personally? And that's one of the things that happens, that I've heard many people say, I'm mad at God because God's word hasn't come true for me, and they quit going to church. There's a lot of people like that. They're not just offended at a person, but at God and God's word itself, because they say the word doesn't work for them, and so they quit. So over here in the Mark, the fourth chapter, in verse 16 and 17, in the Amplified Bible, we see something that is very interesting here. You know, you hear the testimonies about the young people. You know, I got saved when I was 24 years old. And came into the kingdom of God. I was so happy, as much like this young man was, our youth leader. And I would cry a lot, you know, just being in church. Very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, could sense the presence of God so easily, and would cry just looking at the Bible. Reading Holy Bible, started crying. Mark chapter 4, verse 16 says, in a similar way, these in the second group are the ones whom the seed was sown. This is about the seed is the word of God on rocky ground. So they're rocky ground hearted Christians. When they hear the word, immediately they receive with joy, because potentially they know what they're going to be getting, except it only superficially. Because you can receive the word in church and get very happy about it. By the time you leave the service, it's all gone. But they have no real root in themselves, so they endure only for a little while. Notice this, when trouble, everybody said trouble. It says, when trouble or persecution comes, notice this, because of the word, immediately they are offended and are displeased at being associated with me, Jesus said, and stumble and fall away. Because, you know, people get offended in life, you know, because they feel that the word didn't work for them, that someone didn't get healed or didn't get the job or something they were standing for. And the Bible says, Jesus said, they stumble and they fall away. Let's look at this in the Mark chapter 4, the classical edition of Amplified Bible. It says, in verse 17 says, when trouble or persecution arises, notice this, on the account of the word, they immediately are offended. And there are countless of Christians today are offended because they think that the word didn't work for them. So they blame God. They're mad at God. And so offended people will fall away because of resentments, because of hurts, because of feeling, the feeling of being unfairly treated. God, why doesn't God treat me like somebody else, like all those other people? And so they're offended very quickly and they fall away, eventually fall away. Sometimes they fall away a little slower. An offended person will build a wall around their house, around their heart, around their lives. They build walls. Proverbs 18:19 says that a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. He feels so offended that he will build a wall around himself. Back in the days of Solomon, cities were built strong walls around itself for protection from an enemy. Walls keep potential enemies away and keep the inner circle covered. That's exactly what happened, what offended people do. They'll build a wall around themselves and keep people away for protection. So they don't want to come to church because they felt, oh, the pastor hurt me or somebody in the church hurt me, so I'm not going back there again. And yet they don't do that to McDonald's or anything else because they were offended at the way they were treated there by somebody or the food they got. And they keep going back there. You know, just because one person offended you in church doesn't mean everybody's wrong. You know, I grew up in a particular denomination and some of the churches, some of those ministers hurt people. I didn't give it up because of one person, because of not everybody is an offender. If you got a phony dollar bill, doesn't mean every one of them is. Right? Proverbs 18:19 in the King James says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Contentions are like bars of castle. So mental walls of reasoning are built inside of a person's mind. It's hard. It's a normal state of mind to stay away from people and situations that you think hurt you. That's exactly what Satan does to an offended person. They build a wall around themselves. The Apostle Paul identifies them as strongholds. They are reasonings and thoughts to protect them from potential dangers as they see it. Everybody say battlefield of the mind. So in the mind, there's a battleground going on in your head right now even. So it says over here in the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6, the New King James Version says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, the King James says, but bringing every thought, the New King James says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the mind can be a battleground for the devil to hold someone captive. He will implant reasonings contrary to sound thinking. There is a battleground going on in people's minds, and many are there right now. Many have become, we have to become aware of Satan's tactics regarding being offended, and we have to learn to control these thoughts against our own selves. Paul speaks of strongholds in the mind, the thoughts that are lodged in a person's minds, they're implanted there by the devil to defeat that person. He'll make you think contrary to God's word. The King James mentions imaginations, casting down imaginations. A better word for it is reasonings. So we reason things out in our own mind. You know what the assumptions are? Assumptions are when we misunderstand something, so we put our own thought in there. We add our own thinking. And so what are we supposed to do with these imaginations or these reasonings? The Bible says here that we are to cast them down. In other words, you control your own thinking. You control your mind in obedience to God's word. We talked about obedience. The boys talked about obedience earlier. You have to ask yourself, is that the way God wants you to think? You know, even if you were offended, you need to think about what you ought to do with them. Right? So strongholds are thoughts or reasons in a person's mind that are contrary to the word of God. Let me say that one more time. Strongholds are thoughts or reasonings in a person's mind that are contrary to the word of God. It's not God's way of thinking and doing things. We must pull down these strongholds in our minds to come in line with God, the will of God. God's nature is love. And so we need to learn how to love people even in our minds. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, here's what the Apostle John said. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you don't know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. The New Living says anyone who hates another brother or a sister is really a murderer at heart. You know that murderers don't have eternal life in them. You know, I always joke about this, but it may be true, and maybe even tonight, that maybe before you came home, you killed a few people in your mind. Along the way, you ran over a few people, you shot a few people, and you beat a few people up. The Amplified says anyone who hates or works against his brother in Christ is at heart a murderer by God's standards. You know, when you hate somebody, you work against that person. And basically, that's destroying somebody. It's like murdering somebody. When you hate somebody, when you start talking about them, you're assassinating their character. You're destroying what potential they might have. You might spoil somebody else's relationship with someone because you poisoned that person's mind before that person ever met him. You destroys those people's potentiality. Many today are offended. In our text in Matthew 24:10 here, Jesus said many is many. Many will be offended in these last days. That's a sign of the last days. As I looked on the television today, I saw riots in L.A. I see people fighting against each other, Christians fighting against each other on Facebook. They have the best perspective. They're right. They're the ones that are right. They're right. Nobody else is right. The government is wrong. These people are wrong. That person is wrong. There's so much fighting going on. There's fighting in us. Sometimes even fighting more in different areas. In my community, I see fighting against my fellow community members fighting each other about land claims and about annuities and when we should get them and accusations about whatever with different ones all over across, not just my community, all over. That's being offended. Are you still here? I mean, that's going on everywhere. Everybody's offended at Trump. Trump's offended at Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is offended at that guy, and we're mad at what the reporter said about this guy who's in jail, and we would like to kill him. Christians. And this is going on and on and on, and everybody's mad at the people of Israel, and they're mad at the Palestinians, and Palestinians are mad at them, and the Arabs are mad at the Christians. Christians are mad at the, I mean, everybody's mad at everybody. They're offended. This is the world trouble right now. This is going on right now in our backyard, and this is a sign of the last days. If you don't know that, it is the last days. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. He could be coming back for another 50 years. It could be 50 days. We don't know. Only God knows. Hallelujah. The Bible, Jesus talked about false prophets. So offense is the breeding ground for deception. Big problems with deception. People believe they're right and everybody else is wrong. And we have a huge problem because only our perspective is the right one. You know, Jesus said false prophets will come in the last days. And Jesus calls these false prophets wolves who are among us. He says false prophets are wolves in sheep's clothing. That's church people. That's people that, it's not the pastor or the minister. People think it's the pastor or some great minister, but people, they're around people. He describes it, what they are. Paul described it in the book of Acts. What wolves will rise up among us and have people following us. And they make you offended at somebody. So they'll take you out of church and come with us. We're the good ones. We have all the information you need. And so in other words, they're sheep among wolves. Or excuse me, sheep in the flock. Those people there that are false prophets. They gather around them others who are offended sometimes, and they isolate you from the other ones, and they impact you that way, that much away. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires. He rages against all wise judgment, the King James says. The Good News says, people who do not get along with others are interested only in themselves. They will disagree with whatever everyone else says knows is right. The Good News says. The New Living explains it this way. Unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. New Century explains it this way. Unfriendly people are selfish and hate all good sense. So offended people have the idea that everyone else out there, you know, is out to get me. They have a complex sometimes. When you're offended, everybody is against me. Oh, they're against me. I know one guy, I went to see him. He had a business in town here. He called me up and I went to visit him. He said, oh, you know, these pastors in the city here, and they're all against me. I listened to him. I didn't correct him. I had no way to correct him. He wasn't open. Even if I said something, he wouldn't listen to me. And he's still the same way after 30 years. And he's at home. He don't go to church. His wife don't go to church. They're at home. And they could be such effective people helping the church people. I've got people that are close to me. They don't go to church. They're afraid of the church. They're afraid of people. I'm not afraid of people. Are you afraid of people? I can take care of myself. You can take care of yourself. And you don't have to be fighting people, but you don't have to be afraid of people. Right? And Jesus said, Matthew 24 and 12, lawlessness abound. He says there in Matthew 24:12, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. What is lawlessness? The definition, the Greek word for lawlessness is anomia, which means not being submitted to authority. A simple definition of that word, lawlessness, is a state of disorder because of disregard of the law. Sound like a lot of people. Because of lawlessness, Jesus said, the love of many will grow cold. We know the lack of love or unconditional love, which is predominant among those living in the world. He's speaking of those inside the church, where the love of God should be exhibited, will go cold, it says. Isn't that something? The people who should know more about love have lost the ability to demonstrate love. You may have seen these in many cases where people isolate themselves like I have. If you know somebody who likes isolate themselves, they don't go anymore. They don't go to church anymore because they're scared somebody might hurt them. The devil has got them isolated, keep them away, so they can be ineffectual about things of God. They're trying to do what they want to help God and the things of God, but they can't. You can do work the things of God on your own. That's why you need people, right? So you may have seen many like that because of offense. They have demonstrated that they should love other people, but they don't. They live, you know, off the grid, so to speak, spiritually speaking. They live only to preserve themselves. It's not a healthy thing. And this is a sign of the last days. He says the hearts will grow cold. The love of God, the love in them will grow cold. Matthew 24:12 says, love of many will grow cold. He's speaking about agape love, the God kind of love, unconditional love. They're not able to do it because in their mind, they're offended. They let their mind control their heart. We should control our heart should be leading us. Our spirit should be leading us rather than our heart. Because, you know, it doesn't make no sense to bless someone who hurts you. Doesn't make sense for you to pray for that person that hurts you. It makes no sense to forgive someone who hurts you. That's if you're following your head. You'll follow your head that way. If you follow just calm, that kind of sense. But if you have heart sense, or God love of God, you say, I'm going to forgive you anyway. Doesn't mean you're going to chum up with them and be buddies with them next week, but you're going to forgive them. And you're going to keep your distance. Doesn't mean you have to be with someone every day because you forgive them. You don't have to trust them every day. People have to earn your trust. Right? They trust you only if you walk with them and they see you living, and that's the way you can trust someone. If you trust someone because you never walked with them, you're a fool. You shouldn't just trust anybody. I don't know. Maybe you've gone home. So it says, Romans 5:5, listen to every Christian that's in here. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God, everybody say the love of God. Notice this, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That everyone in here has the love of God in them. You could love anybody you want if you want to. You can love anybody you want to, if you want to. Even those who hurt you, you can love them. You know, I don't mean just jumping into their arms every day. I mean, you know, you have to have appropriation of that, right? So we know when he says the love of many will grow cold, he's talking about church people themselves because they're offended. They said, I'm not going to love that person anymore. They said, they deserve to, you know, whatever. So sometimes, you know, the closest people to you hurt you the most, or you hurt the closest people that were close to you. A lot of times you don't know you hurt them. You hurt them even without trying to hurt someone. I don't think anybody here in their right mind goes out to deliberately hurt people. But because we're human, we fail, we hurt people because sometimes we don't know. So we have to give people breaks sometimes and say, you know, they probably didn't know. They saw me standing there. I'm not going to be offended. They walk right through me, you know, and they didn't say hi to me. They didn't wave to me. I tried to shake my hand. They walked right by. Well, they said, I didn't see you. You know, what are you, Trump or something? So there's two categories of the offended. Number one is those who have been mistreated. They're offended, definitely been offended because they have been mistreated. How many of you at one time in your life you've been mistreated? That's like all of us here, somehow. Number two, the other category is that those who believe they were mistreated. Whether it's real or imagined, or whether it's something that, you know, you still felt offended, whether you thought about it or not, whether they deliberately hurt you or not, or just you just thought it, you were still hurt. You know? So people in the second category have misinformation about being offended and have misunderstood the proper information they received. And you can receive a lot of that on Facebook. There's a lot of misinformation out there. You read someone else's post. That's why I don't take it seriously. You? Do you take it seriously, everything people say? No, you don't. Even when they seemingly think they've got the right stuff, They're only reading what they read from whatever. Right? Even good-intended people. It's hard to believe people online. You have the Spirit of God in you, don't you? Yeah, you know what to do. So let's deal with those who have been genuinely offended. Okay, do you have the right to be offended? Yes or no? You say, I have a right. I have every right to be mad at the government. Look what they did to my people. You know? I got every right to feel offended, you know, at this community right over here. I'm still mad at my parents from the way I was brought up. You know, I'm mad at the religion who hurt me. You know, so we have these scenarios. You can name it in the way people have been hurt, and you still carry these around. On the inside of you, right? Walking around like everything's cool. Inside you're looking like this. But you're like this standing on the outside. Nobody sees your spirit. You know, you look, you're acting, you know, on the inside, that's what you feel like. So the question is, do you have a right to be offended or not to be offended? You know, it says here, you know, we could do whatever we want at times. We could say, okay, you know, they did hurt me. Yes, they did. They really hurt me. And therefore, I'm going to keep that. I have a right to. So many offended says, when you tell them, you don't have a right to, if you're a Christian, you don't have a right to, they say, yes, but you don't know what they did to me and how bad it was. An offended person has forgotten that they've been forgiven too by God. God has forgiven you everything. He doesn't hold anything back. He doesn't say, listen here, I know you were pretty bad, but now you got a little worse here. I'm going to deal with you. So here's Ephesians 4:32. He says, to be kind to one another. Okay, so let me ask you something. How does kind look like? Let me see your face. Huh? Does it look like this? When you walk by? Right? You're kind. Tender-hearted. As somebody who's very sensitive, right, to people. Sensitive about how you come across and how you make people feel around you. You want to make them comfortable. Here, have over here. Here, sit here. Here's a nice pillow for you. You want something to drink? Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. How did God forgive you? He didn't hold anything back. That's the way God said you should do with people. If you're a Christian, you can do this. You said, oh, I can't forgive that person. I could. No, you can if you want to. And so that's what offense, how you deal with it here. Here's Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated that his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, while you're sinning, God sent Jesus to die for you. That's a demonstration. You know, here's something else. Some people are too proud to admit they've been offended and too proud to admit they are offended. No, I don't. I'm not offended. No, because you don't want to tell anybody they've been hurt. Acts 24:16. Is this helping somebody, or should I shut it down? Because I got a few more minutes left here. As you know, listen, there's no hockey game tonight, right? Just a few more minutes. You can stand a few more minutes, yeah, right? Because these boys took my time here. We blame them. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Wave at me if you're doing okay. Praise God. Amen. All right. Okay. So Acts 24:16 says this. So this being so, Paul is talking here. He says, I myself always. That's a good place to be. I myself always. I know people who they talk to me something. They always say like this. They always say with me first. So Paul is half Ojibwe. You know. Neen ween neen neen. Neen ago. And some of you know Ojibwe. How much Ojibwe do you know? A little bit, a couple languages, a couple of words. I mean, so just being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense. That's a good place to be. I'm not going to allow any kind of offense in my mind. My brother Hagin used to say this. He said, "I'll neither let a bit of offense hurt in my mind about anybody." I will not anything in my mind, because I love being healthy, because I know that's going to affect my health. You know, the Bible says when you're mad and you're angry and you're holding resentment, that rots your bones. You know, people who have sore bones, maybe. That's what it says. You know, your spirit, soul, and body are so interconnected that one of the areas affected will affect the other places. People say, "I can't sleep." Well, maybe you better check your conscience. Check your life, your spiritual life. "Well, I got sore stomach all day." Well, there could be some medical issues, because maybe something else is going on, but lots of times it affects each other, right? Here Paul is saying he had to live with a clear conscience from all of offenses to God and to people. Because sometimes we get mad at God. "God, why did you allow this to happen to me in my life? Why did you send me here in Kenora? Why did you send me to Beardmore?" Sorry if you live in Beardmore. I don't mean that. I'm just using that as an example. I love Beardmore. I love Beardmore people. Huh? You know, Current River is the best place to live in Thunder Bay. You know that, right? You all know that, yeah? Yeah, God lives here. In this area. He's the closest to the area. The question is, have we become so proud to admit you've been offended? Sometimes you can be too proud to say you're hurt. Sometimes some hurts of offense can be forgiven. Some offenses, you can't seem to get over it because the wounds are so, they're continually going on. You have to be healed of an offense in order for the wound to be healed. If you're continually going that way, you'll always be wounded, little wounded spirit. You have to treat an injured area and exercise and focus on getting that part better in your life. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, "By this I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Go home right now and send an EMT to someone who's hurt you." Tonight I'll get a lot of messages. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, I'm rich, man. I'm rich. "Bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." That's you can't do this without the love of God in you. You can't do this on your own. I'll make this announcement. Do not try this at home alone. Here's a couple more scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43-48. Let's read these really quickly. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you," Jesus said, "love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, and what reward have you? Even the tax collectors do the same." Back, Matthew was a tax collector. He knew about this. "If you greet only your brothers when you're walking downtown PA, What do you have, you know, when you walk on the powwow grounds? No, what more do you have? What more do you have than other people? Do not even tax collectors or I would say this because I'm one of them. Even band counselors have to do the same. Anyway, forget it. Let me read this for TV. Okay. Even if you greet your brethren only, what more do you than others? Do you not even... It reminds me of, I saw one of these funny things somebody sent me of this little boy. He was talking away and he's asking the question and he couldn't get the last part of it right. Did you see that one? I'm going to send it to all of you tonight. Verse 48 says, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father is perfect in heaven. Here's the deal. Number one, if you're offended, treat your hurts by showing kindness. Say, I'm going to treat my hurt by showing kindness. So when you've been hurt, just go ahead and be nice. That's the opposite of what somebody will teach you. You're supposed to hate people who hurt you, right? And then here, number two, exercise love by praying for people. Get on your knees tonight and pray for that. Before you jump into your bed, you get on your knees and say, Lord, I want to kneel here. And I just want to just say, in the name of Jesus, Father, I want you to forgive me for being so offended and so hurt. Forgive me for holding hurts in my heart. I want to forgive that brother or sister. I'm asking you to forgive them. You know, I see in the Bible that God act can, you know, you know, you could pray for someone for God to forgive somebody. You know, you could do that, especially if they're unconscious and they're dying in the hospital bed somewhere, and you said, Lord, I don't know if they're hurt. Please forgive them in the name of Jesus. And he'll forgive them because you asked him to. You know, there's more ways to skin a cat, as they say. Number three. You want number three or you want to come back next week? You must truly wish the best for other people. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8, it talks about there that love, if you read it in the Amplified Bible, love believes the best of everybody. You use your mind to think, you know, instead of thinking about, I wish they'd just drown this summer, or whatever. I wish they would crash, or whatever. Lord, I'm going to pray the best of them this summer. Now, I'm saying this because, you know, people are looking at me like this. That's the way people think. I mean, if you stop and thought about yourself, you'd be offended of yourself, how you've been thinking. You'll never talk to yourself again. Now, listen, Jesus said this in Luke 17:1. He says, Jesus said to his disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, you cannot live this world without having an occasion to be offended. And that, my brothers and sisters, I could carry on some more here because this is part 3, part 4, 16 parts to this message. Let's all rise, and we're going to close the service. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Well, you better, because I'd be offended. Amen. Now, everybody close your eyes. No peeking. You stand before a holy God. He sees your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you've been holding in there. You know, years ago, I was offended at the government. I was mad at my mom and dad for raising me the way they raised me. I was mad at white people. I hated all white people. I hated the government. I hated what happened to me. I hated that I lived on a reserve. I was mad at the world. And when I tried to get sober, they told me, Roma, you need to live by spiritual laws now. The word forgiveness means let it go. The word forgiveness means let it go and leave it there. It doesn't mean when you forgive, doesn't mean you're going to feel all wonderful and holy and sanctified. You might have to fight it for a while. But you have to be willing. Be willing to let it go. God says, I'm going to take it. I'll take it from you. I'll carry that for you. You have to be willing to let it go. Say this. Say, God, I'm willing to let my hurt go. I'm letting my offense go tonight. If it comes up again, I'm going to let it go again. I'm going to talk to it and say, you've been forgiven. Say, I control my mind. I can think the way I want to think. And I'm letting that go. I'm not letting offense hold me in bondage. There's a scripture back there, Paul told Timothy, that Satan holds people in a trap. And you can get yourself out if you want. Satan cannot hold you. He cannot put anything in your mind. He cannot force you. Satan cannot stop you. It's up to you right now to do this. Only you can do it. God can't do it for you. He'll help you to do it. But only you can do it. Lift your hands and say, God, thank you for forgiving me. Oh, praise God. I have forgiveness in my heart tonight. Thank you, God. I'm free. I'm free. When I go to bed tonight, I'm going to go to bed with a smile because I know I'm free. I'm going to pray for all those people. I'm going to exercise my love. I'm going to pray for anyone who's offended me. And if somebody hurts me, I'm going to bless them. And I will not take offense. And I will not let the devil hold me in captive. I'm not going to pass on my offense to my friends and my family and talk about somebody and talk about my hurt and rehearse it over and pass it on to everybody. I'm not going to even talk about it anymore. I'm forgiving. In Jesus' name. If you're watching on television right now, and if you're here right now, if you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, this is an opportunity for you to come to Jesus. Many years ago, I came to Jesus Christ because somebody's trying to get a hold of me here. I think the Lord is telling me to stop. Many years ago, I came to God. I was a college student. I was 24 years old. I was in my apartment. And I needed peace. And I had a lot of hurt in my life. And I carried that hurt. And when I came to Jesus, it all went away. You can receive that right now by turning away from your own way of life and say, God, I'm gonna allow you to be the leader of my life. I turn away from my sin, I turn away from the way I'm living now, and I want to serve you. You'll never be the same again. You'll have peace in your mind, your heart and mind, and God will give you every opportunity to have a good life.